بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. This is an Asharaf of Wajada Sheikh Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, the title of which is Yasubha Madina, Yashamha Madina. Yasubha Madina Yasubha Madina Ya Shame Madina Mubarak Tujhe Ye Qiyame Madina Ya Subah Madina Ya Shame Madina Mubarak Tujhe Ye قيام مدينة بلا جان کیا جا مومین عالم تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینة بلا جان کیا جا مومین عالم تیرا کیف اے خوش خرام مدینہ مدینہ کی گلیوں ہر ایک قدم پر مد نظر احترام مدینہ مدینہ کی گلیوں ہر ایک قدم پر مد نظر احترام مدینہ 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 برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ 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 برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چاہو گی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چاہو گی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ 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 برا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں دونتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفا. اما بعد, this beautiful bayan of our honorable Erastus Dara Sheikh Ari Billah Rumi Awak Tabriz Zirmana Hazrat Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu. Hazrat is teaching us here the great love of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Ta'ala Sallam, which is a condition of our Iman. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Ta'ala Sallam has informed us a person's Iman is not complete until Nabi Akram Sallallahu Sallam is more beloved to us than everything else, even our family and even our own self. And when a person has got this love, then everything that is attached to his beloved is very, very beloved to him. And this is a sign of Iman. So here Hazrat is teaching us that that person who gets this great opportunity out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be right at the darbar, at the prayer, at the honorable court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what can be said of that person's life at that moment? Hazrat is saying, Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina. What can be said of the morning of Madina Sharif, the evening of Madina Sharif? In other words, the whole day in Madina Sharif is only full of anwarat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The special fuyuz of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there all the time. If a person is conscious of this by sitting in the company of the friends of Allah and learning of the honor, of the greatness of the maqam and the position of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, that place, that ground is greater than Kaaba Sharif also. And then a person will realize what enjoyable time there is in Madina Sharif, and no time to waste in the bazaars. No time to waste in unnecessary talking, etc., on social media. But a person will spend as much time as he can in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat says that if this morning of yours and this evening of yours is so blessed, then what can be said, Mubarak tujhe ye qiyam-e Madina. Then your stay in Madina Sharif, what a blessed and honorable stay this is. If a person only realizes the value of it, unfortunately myself, or we haven't made Qadr, Allah Ta'ala has blocked us, so to say, that we realize and understand that what a loss it is. We should be begging and crying to Allah Rabbul Izzat that Allah Ta'ala open all the doors of Rahmat for us from Haramain Sharifain and all the Masajid and Marakis of the world, that we can take maximum benefit, and we realize that the only in coming closer to Allah Rabbul Izzat through our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can we draw the rahmat of Allah, and can our lives become full of blessings again. So we have to be crying and checking our lives that how much am I coming closer to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or am I just living an unmindful life and just passing my life. Hazrat says when you realize this, and a person is connected to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what can be said? Bala jaane kya jaam umina e alam, tera kaif e khush kharam e Madina. Then what do the world know of the enjoyment of that stay in Madina Sharif? That oh Madina Sharif, your beauty, your atmosphere, etc., and all this is only and solely through the barakat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that anywhere else in the world there can't be a better place than Madina Sharif. So much so that presently even the Malaika are envying Madina Sharif, because the king of both the world, Sayyidul Kaunain, Fakhri du alam Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting in Medina Sharif. So at this moment that Medina Sharif has got Jannat in there. And Jannat at the moment hasn't got Medina Sharif. So this is the best place in the world. What can be any other place when a person gets an idea of what enjoyment there is in Medina Sharif with regard to the special views and anwarat and the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he won't think of going anywhere else in the world. But together with that, a person will realize that I am in the greatest city of the world, the city of the greatest honorable personality. So according to that place, a person should have a proper respect and etiquette. So Hazrat is teaching us here also another important aspect, that together with the love that you have for the great personalities, you have to keep in mind their respects also. Like we have to learn this from our Shaykh, from our Asatiza, and then it goes up the ladder, and the higher it goes, a person has to have much, much, much more adab and respect. And as we learn from our Honorable Shaykh, that we don't just say Medina, Medina Sharif, Makkatul Mukarrama, even taking the names with respect and honor, this brings barakat in the life of a person. So Hazrat is teaching us here, Medina ki galiyon mein har ek qadam par ho madde nazar ihtiram e Medina. Remember, when Allah Ta'ala blesses you with this Mubarak occasion, and not only that, Hazrat teaches us when we are reciting our durood also, think that we are at the Rose Park of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all the time have great honor and respect of every step of yours, every movement of yours when you are in Medina Sharif, particularly on your way to Medina Sharif. There, see how we are spending our time and see how we are talking, etc. Very, very important. This is Allahu Akbar. According to the position of a person, how close you are to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's how Allah Ta'ala makes your tarbiyat, your nurturing accordingly. One pious person being in Medina Sharif, he just happened to say that the day of Medina Sharif is not so sweet like our day, where he stays. Then at night he saw Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream and told him that rather if you don't like the day of Medina Sharif, that is the Sawmal, then go to your own place. Don't stay here. So a person has to be extremely cautious and be all the time, this respect and adab is very, very important. Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has taught us so beautifully that ba adab ba nasib. That a person who's got respect, etiquette in his life, that person Allah will grant him a lot, and Allah Ta'ala will raise him and take him closer and closer. And bear adab, bear nasib. And a person who doesn't have respect, he doesn't regard it as important, that person will lose out in life, that he won't get any goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned another important point, that with bare adabi, with disrespect, a person can suffer more than committing sin also. So disrespect is a very, very terrible thing. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, all of us, that we learn here from our mashayikh, what is respect all about. And from the time we come into the masjid also, with proper adab, with proper respect, etiquette, all this, then only we'll get the rahmat that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us from the du'as of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you coming here, we begging Allah to open the doors of rahmat. But if we don't show proper etiquette, proper respect, then we will be closing the doors of rahmat upon us. Although we are in a place of rahmat, we won't get rahmat. Allah Ta'ala save me, all of us. So it is extremely important. And then further, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat said, bad adab, bad nasib. And if a person has got bad character and has got disrespect in him, then that person will become a wretched person. Outwardly, he might think that no, he's got some honor and he's got some respect, but no, nobody will respect him. In the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, he'll have no value whatsoever. Further, Hazrat is teaching us, when you realize this, and you stay with adab and ihtiram, then just taking the name of Nabi, the city of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what enjoyment there is in there. Then what can be said of reciting durood with real love and with real passion and with real eagerness, What can be said of this? Hazrat says here, Madina, 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 Madina. Bara lutf deta hai naam-e Madina. Can a person now imagine in the heart of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to listen to the name of the city of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala is so enjoyable. And when you talk about Madina Sharif, what enjoyment comes to a person's heart, you can't imagine. And then when a person recites durood accordingly, then, and especially as our Hazrat teaches us, just think you in front of Rawza-e Paak, then what enjoyment there is in reciting durood Sharif. There can't be better enjoyment in anything else than reciting durood upon our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when a person knows the value of being in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bringing the sunnahs in our life, then Hazrat says, Nigao mein sultaniyat hech hogi, jo paayega dil mein payam mein Madina. That when the true message of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has penetrated our heart, as Allah Rabbul Izzat teaches us, if you want the love of Allah Ta'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. That, O my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell my servants, if you want the love of Allah Ta'ala, then you have to follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the more a person recites durood, the more eagerness of following the sunnah will come in the heart of that person. And then the whole world, owning the whole world, or being the king of the whole world, won't have any value in your eyes anymore. Now real value will be in following the sunnahs of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah ta'ala wants us to obey it according to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person's life and his value of life is far better than all the kings of the world who don't know about the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who knew this value, a whole delegation sitting in the Roman Emperor, and a morsel of food falls down, and one Sahabi picks it up, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhum, somebody nudges him, that this doesn't look like good etiquette. At the top of his voice, he say, what do these people know about etiquette? أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِ لِهَاُلَىٰ الْهُمَقَىٰ. That the people of the world don't know about etiquette, so what you nudging me, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, that is etiquette, and that is respect, and that is the real thing we have to bring into our life. Today we get overtaken by what we see outwardly, what people tell us, what the world will tell us. Even if it is against sunnah, we want to follow that way of life. That's a sad condition of the ummah. The real way of life and the most beautiful way of life, as Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haqsab rahmatullah alayhi has put it, that the most beautiful way of life, sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa hai. Most beautiful. And if you want a perfect way of life, sunnat ka tariqa, akmal tariqa hai. It's the most perfect way of life. And you might think it's beautiful, it's perfect, it's difficult. He says, no, sunnat ka tariqa, ashal tariqa hai. The most simplest and easiest way. And that is the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the deen Allah Ta'ala has given us. To get close to Allah is very easy. But if only we learn from the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise today we are living in that time which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. That badal Islamu ghariba. That Islam started like a strange, just a new way of life. Today also we talk about sunnahs. What do our children know about sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ourselves, what do we know? Do we talk about sunnahs in our home, etc.? This is extremely important. When a person talks about this, then the value of sunnah will come in our lives. And the value of this world will go out, which it has got no value in any case, that distracts us from Allah Rabbul Izzat. And Hazrat says, now when this comes in your life, then you'll find the peace and happiness and contentment which the whole world is looking for. Hazrat says, where the world is looking for the peace and happiness, sukoon hai jahan tum kaha dhoondte ho, sukoon hai jahan hai nizam-e Madina mein. That the peace and happiness and contentment, everybody is going through a stressful life, a fearful life. Just come back onto the path of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As our Hazrat teaches us so beautifully, we think we will progress when we follow the technology of the world. No, we will get lost. and we will become intelligent fools. If you go back 1400 years to the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then see, peace, happiness will come in the home. It will come in our lives. It will come in society. But that way of life that was taught by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not what we think there is, that type of Islam that we think, the modern Islam, that will not bring happiness in our life. That way of life that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, and then Hazrat finally makes a dua and teaches us that ho azad akhtar gham do jahan se jo ho jaye dil se ghulam e Madina. If you want to be free from all the worries of this world, and most important the worries of the hereafter, which starts from the qabr and then the day of qiyamah and then the pulf sirat, all these worries, if you want to be safe from, become the true slave of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In other words, become a die-hard lover and make our lives in according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then inshallah we can have hope that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for us on the day of qiyamah, when we will really need it in the hereafter. And in this world also we will get the rahmat and the blessings of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, the solution to the problems the Ummah are facing. There are 25 ruh chapters. We've done a few of them before. That's ruh number 6, supplicating, that is to make dua. And last week we had read that the main thing is to petition Allah Ta'ala for one's needs and requirements, whether it refers to the dunya or akhirat. We must ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Hazrat mentioned, it doesn't just mean mere recitation of some words and a ritual, how normally people do it, but how we are asking somebody, presenting our needs in front of a court, we must present ourselves in this way. Then Hazrat mentions thereafter, the times of dua are not restricted to the time of salat. Dua should be made at any time, whenever one requires something, although the time after salat is very beneficial for acceptance of dua. This obviously, those salats in which there are sunnahs after, then the dua should be short. And in those salats where there is no sunnahs after, example, Asr salat and Fajr salat, then a person can make a longer dua. But in those where there is, example, Zuhr salat or Maghrib salat, Isha salat, then the sunnah tariqah is to make a shorter dua at that time, and then a person reads the sunnah namaz, because the sunnah is the completion of the Fard salat. And after the sunnah namaz, if a person wants to make dua again, there is no problem, he can make a longer dua. Whenever and whatever one is in need of, immediately make dua with the heart as well as with the tongue. This then is the reality and nature of dua. Now when making dua, do so according to the reality and nature of dua as has been described, as we had mentioned last week, concentration and devotion, and we are making an appeal in the court of the world like that. If you do so, you will definitely feel the barakah of dua. Barakah of dua does not mean that whatever you ask for will be granted. At times the very object sought for is obtained. Example, something in regard to the akhirat, because the favor or bounty of akhirat is pure goodness for the servant, so Allah will give it to a person. For the attainment of the fortunes of the akhirat, iman and itaat, obedience are conditions. Without these conditions, the blessings of akhirah are not attainable. Sometimes the object asked for is not outwardly obtained. Example, an object or requirement of the world. This is so because sometimes the worldly object supplicated for is harmful and sometimes beneficial. If it is beneficial in the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, He grants it to the servant. And when it is harmful, Allah Ta'ala withholds it from the servant, just as a father will deny his child an object which is harmful to his interest. The meaning of barakah in this context is that the attention of Allah Ta'ala is directed to the servant. Thus, if due to some reason known to Allah Ta'ala, the object asked for is not granted, then too contentment. One will get contentment. He is not overcome with frustration and weakness. The spiritual strength with which the heart is imbued is the effect of the special attention of Allah Ta'ala as a result of dua made by the servant. The special attention of Allah Ta'ala is indeed a great treasure. All other treasures pale into insignificance in His presence. The special attention is in fact man's original capital, which he has to strive for. It is the possession of this treasure which will bring him comfort and peace in this world and in the akhirat. The limitless bounties of the year after are obtainable as a result of the special attention which Allah Ta'ala focuses on His servants. There is therefore never ever the slightest fear of being deprived. The one who is making dua is never deprived because of the inherent barakat of dua. Some ahadith pertaining to the significance of dua. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The servant's dua is accepted as long as he does not ask for something sinful nor for something unkind to his relatives, breaking of ties, and as long as he is not impatient." It was asked, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the meaning of being impatient? He replied, it means to say, I have made dua time and again, but it has not been answered. So saying, he gives up dua. This hadith stresses the continuous making of dua, even if the dua seemingly is not accepted. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing is more appreciable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua, or nothing is more honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than dua. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dua is beneficial in everything. It is beneficial in warding off misfortunes which have already descended, as well as misfortunes which are about to descend. Therefore, the servants of Allah Ta'ala should be steadfast in making dua. So calamities are removed when person makes dua. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Ta'ala becomes angry with the one who refrains from dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and ability always to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before carrying on, just a reminder again, we all ask ourselves whether we are reading our la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It's very, very, very beneficial, very important, and great, great benefits. May Allah give us tawfiq, and one easy way to become regular with it, to remind others. That we remind others, we encourage other people, we inform other people, family, friends, etc., where we like to share many things. Today what we see on the group, we want to share it, whatever else, so let us share this. And this also, we try and spread it as much as we can to others. We will also get the reward, and the rewards of it are so great and so beneficial. Allah give us tawfiq. Also together with that, whatever ni'mat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala we enjoy, and we are drowning in the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala. Today it's a little bit more colder, so all of us will be having some warm clothing. We're wearing our warm clothing, so to make shukr to Allah for that. So our plate of food comes in front of us, to make shukr for that. And there are so many ni'mats in that one plate of food. The plate itself is a ni'mat. And then the dasturkhan, there are so many ni'mats of to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala consciously, that Ya Allah. And also, if we have this realization, even better, that I'm not deserving of it in the least, but how Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, we are such that when we enjoy any ni'mat, food, whatever, then first we should make tawbah and istighfar to Allah. Like a little child that is disobedient, that is naughty, it has messed up things in the house, spilled things, etc., mixed up things, and then it's crying for food by the mother. So the mother first says, clean up that mess of yours. So like that, what big mess we are doing all the time. We must first clean that up. We must make tawbah to Allah that He has blessed us in spite of us being so sinful, so undeserving. And then we should make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that there are so many people who haven't got this ni'mat. They haven't got warm clothing at the moment. They haven't got food. There are so many people who haven't got a shelter. So many things. The least we can do is make dua. Allah give us how much more tawfiq what we can do physically, monetarily to help somebody, then we should really go out of our way and try and help somebody. But the minimum we can do is to make dua. And then thirdly, that all those who were the means of this, of me getting this, whether somebody gave it, the wife prepared the food, whoever else, or somebody gave us a gift, hadiah, or we bought it also, all the people who had the means of it, make dua for them also. And then that Allah Ta'ala give us this ni'mat here, now you are giving it to us, don't deprive us in the akhirat also. And there are so many people to whom it will be said, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا. Whatever good you did, I gave you your share in dunya already. Now there is no share for you here in the akhirat. There will be a disgraceful punishment for you in the akhirat. Allah save us. That also means that Allah, what you're giving us, give us happily. That you are happy. A person gives happily also, and a person gives when he is upset with somebody, then also he gives it. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah is to give this beautiful example. We have got a parrot in the house, a bird in the cage, and it sings beautifully, etc. You give it all nice food, water, you give it happily. And then you have got another cage also for the rat, the mouse, the rat that is troubling in the house, coming to eat all the things, etc. So you put a nice piece of ghee roti in there also. A nice piece of fresh cheese you put in there also. But you are not giving it happily. You are angry with that rat and that mouse. And then when it will come in, it will get trapped, then you will put it by the cat. And the cat will to sort of torture that poor mouse before it eats it also. How it will play with it, according to the cat it will be playing. But what torture and misery that poor rat and mouse is going through. So we also, if Allah is happy with us, then if we made him happy, he will give us also happily. And if we have displeased him, he will give us. But also, may Allah save us not to trap us. And in that we should also fear that whatever ni'mat we are enjoying of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, that Allah must be giving it to us happily. Not that Allah is giving us and is giving us line. Like a fisherman gives line to his fish. He has caught the fish, but then he's playing with it. But finally he's going to pull it out. And then it will go through all the ordeal that will follow thereafter. This also, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali explained so beautifully with such a wonderful example, that if that fish in the water, it sees the hook. It doesn't see the hook. The hook, there is a worm around the hook. So the young fish, Maulana used to explain, it sees this this nice, fat, juicy worm. And then it wants to eat it. But the older fish in the water, the ulama type fish, the tabligh people like fish, the pious people, they told that small little fish, don't ever go near there. So that little fish, it says, well, what's wrong? Such a juicy fish. Like youngsters today, we tell them about many things, about eating out, take away food, etc., or other many haram things, so many things, it doesn't make sense to them. And sometimes they might also feel that you people are old, you can't enjoy it, it's sour grapes, because you can't enjoy it, you're depriving us also. What's wrong with this? So they try to explain to that fish that this is very harmful for you. What is harmful? That this is the fat, juicy worm that is outside, but inside there is a sharp hook. And if you will bite on it, then the sharp hook, you will get caught in that hook. And that hook is joined with a line to somebody that is standing outside the water. And he is a tall man there, and he's got a long fishing rod with him there. And he's feeling on his line all the time whether he's got a catch on. When he's got a catch, then he will pull you out. He might pull you out immediately. He might play with you, give you rope, let you play, give you line, let you carry on. And you might think that I'm still enjoying all the time, but finally he's going to pull you out. When he pulls you out, when he's come there for fishing for the weekend with his four or five friends. There are five friends of them there, and then when you are out, the five friends, they'll light a fire, or they'll bring their gas stove, and then they've brought a frying pan. They will put the frying pan on top, they will pour oil in there, and in the meantime, the others will cut you up, and they will gouge out your eyes. They will take out your inside of your insides, your ferns they will cut out, your scales they will remove, and then they will cut you into pieces. And they brought their masala also with, and they will, all that masala they will put around you. They will marinate you. And after that, when the oil is sizzling hot, then they will take you piece by piece and they will put you in there. And after that, they will eat you, five of them, with 10 fingers each, between 50 fingers, they're going to make pieces out of you. Each one, they've got all their teeth in their mouth, two jaws. They will put piece by piece in their mouth, and then they will chew you. And then you will go through the intestines, the big intestine, the small intestine, and where you're going to come out from, that is so terrible. And so horrible that is. And your bones that will be left over, they've come with their little pets, their cats and dogs also. They will throw to them, you'll throw your bones to them, they will eat you. So the fish gets frightened a bit that if all this is going to happen. But the fish is a young type fish, university type fish, that goes to university and experiments everything. Everything must be tested. You can't just accept like that. So it tests it now, and in its test, it's looking for frying pans and for fish, for oil and for masalas, but in the water it finds nothing. It's looking for it where it isn't. It's outside on the land, and it's looking for it in the water. It doesn't find one big, tall man there. It doesn't find any fishing rod or anything there. Nothing it finds. And also, it uses its logic also. It's a very logic, it's got studied lot of logic also, that there is no life out of water, because it thinks according to its own capacity. Life is only in the water. The minute you go out of water, you die. So there is no life out of water. So now it becomes a bit bold, and it takes a small little bite, still a little bit frightened. And nothing happens. So it's now convinced that what I was told was all false. It takes another bite and soon it's caught. And when it's caught, it sees everything play out as it was told. All that procedure now, where it will go to in the hands of the fisherman, how it will be cut out, how that strong masala will be put on it, how it will be put into that sizzling hot oil, how they will eat it, just like that. Our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Quran Pak has warned us of the life of Akhirat, the life of the Qabr. But we also using our own logic and our own thinking that in life in the Qabr, can there be life? Will the ruh come back? Is there a day like Qiyamah? And the vastness of Jahannam and the great enjoyments of Jannah, we are trying to fathom that and understand that in our laboratories, yeah. And in our textbooks, yeah. Whereas it isn't here. It's a thing which is there. It isn't here. And we're trying to fathom it and all that. And then we were told, you'll do guna, this problem will come in your life, that guna. We make some gunas and we see more enjoyment coming, according to our enjoyment. So we are now convinced that what we were told is not true. But as you commit with the gunas, then we find you come to that point where life becomes now unbearable also. And where a person wants to commit suicide also. Everything going wrong in his life now. Worse problems coming now. Every type of problem coming in his life. That is in this world already. And then in the Qabr, where the time of mort, may Allah protect us all, our families, our children. These days, our iman is being tested. Iman on our akhirat. Today, how many people have got doubts on this life? And yaqeen is what we have to have. Yaqeen is surety. And the opposite of yaqeen is shak, doubt. If a person has got doubt in any of these things, may Allah protect us, then there is no yaqeen left. Iman is gone. If there is doubt, then there is no yaqeen. If there is doubt on any of the seven articles of faith which we normally read, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ on taqdeer and on akhirat, all this, if a person has got any doubt, then there is no iman left. And today we have to be very concerned about ourselves, about our friends, our families, our children, our progeny to come, the way things are going and the way shaitan is making his full out effort, using all his agents and destroying our iman. So we have to be very concerned about it. And just as we know that fish will see everything as it was told, it will be exactly like that. As our Nabi told, more than what we can understand, we will see it. In fact, in the Quran Sharif, that the people of Jannah, they will ask the people of Jahannam, Hal wajadtum? Have you found all that you were promised? Did you find it? They said, yes, everything what was told to us. We see it very clearly, and there is absolutely no doubt in it, that everything a person will see. Yeah, we will see great benefit in interest. But a person with iman will only see destruction in interest. All the wrong things in this worldly life, all the wrong things, the glitter, glamour, it is just a sugar-coated pearl. It is just outside, it looks very beautiful and it is so tempting. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary that we associate ourselves with deen. We come to the majalis, in jamaat work we take part, ta'aleem we take part regularly, we read kitabs, we listen to the bayans of ulama, all this, and how much those ulama we try to listen to, who are more practical on their deen, who are more practicing on their deen, etc., the more it will have effect. The more we come to the masajid is a place, is the house of Allah. Yea, we will meet Allah. And in fact, Allah give us tawfiq when we coming to the masjid, make the niyat that I'm going to the house of Allah. And in the house of a house of anyone, you go to meet the person. One student asked me yesterday, what astounding, he got me also dumbfounded. He said that it comes in the hadith, Al-Mar'u ma'aman ahab. A person is with whom he loves. So he says, I love Allah. So haven't he sent Allah with me then? Because a person is with whom he loves. And I love Allah. So Allah is with you. So there is no doubt. Allah is with that person. And if we come to the masjid and we didn't find Allah, we read how many sets of namaz, sunnah, faraz, nafil, from Allahu Akbar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, but we didn't find Allah. Then we should find Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala is that being right from Allahu Akbar of the adhan, Allahu Akbar of our namaz, that Allah, you are the greatest. Your command is the greatest. That this reality comes into us. Nobody else, no other authority, nobody is great. Allah is the greatest. Allah is not only the greatest, Allah is the only greatest. There is nobody else who can come anywhere. Allah is the greatest. And every command of Allah is the greatest. And to break any command of Allah, Shaitan broke one command of Allah. What happened to him? And we breaking so many commandments of Allah Ta'ala. So all the time, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. And then the whole sana that we read, Surah Fatiha that we read, and then we add a surah, we go in ruku, the bowing down itself, and if this consciousness in front of Allah, I'm surrendering myself. So all this will also bring that yaqeen on Allah. All this will bring, when we make our sajda, and we lift our head from the sajda, that so to say we realize, minha khalaqanakum, it is from the sand that we have created you. وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ. And our life in this world is that little while. If sajda, we still read three times Subhanallah. When we're sitting also, so there is du'as to be read, but normally where we sit, we don't read the du'a. In a tahiyat we read, but between the in the jalsa, between the two sajdas, we don't read, and we gone back again. Ulama have written that that is our lifespan in this world. Just that little bit, and then back to the second, and then وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ, we have returned you to the وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى, and from that very stand we will take you out another time. This reality be in front of us, we will be standing in front of Allah, and it's going to happen before we know what happened. For each one we will realize that it has happened already. Before I knew what's happening, it's happened already. Yeah, I'm in front of Allah Ta'ala. And being in front of Allah Ta'ala, and each one, the finest, Allah save us, and we must make this dua also, that without hisab, kitab, Allah Ta'ala enters us into Jannah. Otherwise, if a person has to be taken to, if he has, his books are checked, and every small detail will be checked, where will we ever be able to answer? A person who makes his namaz without concentration and devotion, that punishment is so terrible. And our namazes after namazes are going like that. Our life is just going. And we are created here, we are put in this world, not for this dunya's sake. We are here for akhirat. But we have completely misunderstood living our whole company, and company is very, very important, who we associate with. We are all the time in the dunya's environment. Even if there is nobody around us, today with the cell phone or the hell phone, also all the time we are in dunya, checking up on this, checking prices all the time. You're checking offers which are made at all the time. We are how many of us, the mashallah, will be checking a bayan, will be listening to a qiraat or something like that, some benefit we take. But normally it is just dunya's things, the vast majority. Our women don't go shopping, and many of our women who the husbands do the shopping, but today they also doing the shopping from the house. They also on the cell phone. They also checking, if not going to the shops, who in the town is selling achar? Who is selling this? Who is selling that? We are all the time more. How much are we involved? So how much of our time is going in dunya? And that has to have an effect on us. And we have, our time is in deen. And the more we involved in deen, dunya's people, it's clear, they will regard us as backwards. They will regard us that you don't even know how to use a cell phone. You don't even know all the details of it. Let them say, dunya's life is a short life. The way it appears to be a long life. But it is really a very, very short life. And the real life is the life of the akhirat. The life of the qabr will be so long. The life in the akhirat, one day, كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ, one day will be 1,000. The day of Qiyamah, كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ, 50,000 years long. And Allah Ta'ala will be there as the judge. Allah will be Maliki Yawm al-Din, the Malik of that day. Today we have no other, we have to turn to Allah. There is no way out for us but the mercy of Allah. One Buzurg says, in fact, that if I have the choice, that you can take your own hisab kitab. You can decide for yourself. You want to go to Jannat, Jahannam, what is your, look at your what you did, and you decide for yourself. Or Allah says, I will decide. He says, I will prefer Allah decides for me. He knows that the great mercy of Allah is more merciful to us than what we can be merciful to us. In fact, we don't even know what is our mercy. And what is good for us also, we don't know. Like little children fighting with their parents, back-chatting them also, that we want this, we want that, we want, nobody must tell me what I must do, etc. because they don't know what is good for them. The parents know more better for them. And Allah Rabbul Alameen, Arhamur Rahimeen, most loving, most kind, most merciful. How Allah loves His creation. So we will be by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So we have to run to Allah Ta'ala. Today we are running away from Allah Ta'ala in all our matters and encourage others. Today we are encouraging, discouraging people, close people, don't go to the masjid. Masjid is the place we have to go to. Today we have got it completely upside down. The mercy of Allah is in the masjid. It's not outside in the shopping places, shopping malls. It's not in the sports stadiums. It's not anywhere else. The mercy of Allah is in the masajid. This is, and today we are getting brainwashed. And how many of us are accepting it? And we just put it in different ways. The children are forcing me. My auntie is forcing me. My mother is forcing me. That you mustn't go to masjid. But that is the place where we should be going. The masjid is the place we should be going. And more towards the amal of deen we should be going to. Not away from this. We are choosing all other types of protection. Our real protection, our refuge, is with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. La malja'a wa la manja'a min Allahi illa ilay. There is no place of refuge, no security, no safety but by Allah Ta'ala. So we have to run to Allah Ta'ala. We have to encourage other people back to the masajid, back to our deen. As we knew our deen, how can we just change over, flip over, and today different type of things we are following. And that, and now it is so much, it is distancing, has distanced us from the masjid. And also, we have to be very concerned. The attacks are coming on our adhan also now. Allah protect us. That it doesn't happen our adhan. And all this doesn't just happen like that. We were not responding to the adhan. And Allah's system works like that. Whatever ni'mat He gives us, we don't use that ni'mat, then Allah takes that ni'mat away. At the moment, inshallah, still, this is not that Allah has taken it away. He's just giving us a wake-up call. If we can wake up now, come to the masjid again, come to our deen, come to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have our yaqeen, don't have fear. Bimari is only in the hands of Allah. Precautions we can take, no problem with that. But our yaqeen that it is only in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the controller. Our maut is only in the hands of Allah. How many of us running away from maut? How can a person run away from maut? We think we're running away from this problem, we run into another problem. And we run into a worse problem. So we have to turn to Allah Ta'ala. And in all, we're distancing ourselves from the masjid. We're distancing ourselves from our family. And this with our family, a doctor of India, non-Muslim. He says that all this isolation and all this distancing brings depression on a person. People get suicidal thoughts after that. And then a person is like lost. If you have your family with you, your close and dear ones, you feel support, you feel comfort with that. Therefore, the hadith has taught us to go and visit the sick. Because it's great, it gives them great strength and gives them great support when you go and visit them. Then we are distancing ourselves now at the time of janaza also. What all the different protocols that we are following. And how the marhumin, some of them just with tayammum. All this, and we just want to observe all the laws of the country, the laws which are imposed upon us. And what about Allah's laws? Nobody else made us. Nobody gave us our eyes, gives us our rosin. Nobody gives it but Allah. And who gives us our good health? The food that we eat, if that wants to has to become the virus for us, it will become. And if it has to become strength for us, it is all. Every morsel when it goes, before it goes down, it asks of Allah. Must be a source of health to this person or a source of illness to this person. It's not the food itself. It is all what Allah Ta'ala decrees. So we have to turn more to Allah. And we must become more active now. MashaAllah, jamaats are going out again. More jamaats must go out also. And not only our jamaat time, 3 days in jamaat, all the time. Wherever we can, we have to now bring people back again. This condition came upon us, and it came also because of our wrongdoing. And now, to take it away, we must do our wrong, make it right now. And then conditions will come right. Du'as also we have to make, that everything, our masjids must get full again. Juma namaz all must be coming again. People were listening to one talk a week. Now we are deprived of that also. Now we are making our short Jumas everywhere. Every factory, every block of flats, every few houses. We make our own Juma, short khutbah, short namaz. And we just want to finish up the spirit of Juma. Juma to make us Jama, to collect us, the people of a town. According to the Shafi'i Madhab, in a town, only Juma, you can only make in the Juma masjid, not even in the other masjid. All must come to the Juma masjid. So we, all that spirit of getting together. Then Eid day, in the Eidgah, we all must collect. The whole town's people, all the people. So Allah Ta'ala make us the means to bring our deen, get our aqaid to get in order again. Realize that the akhirah is the real life. Dunya's life is temporary, very, very short. That is the real life. We are not here for this dunya, we are here for akhirah. The more we will speak, the more it's going to come into us. The more we're going to listen to it, the more it will come. The more we will make dua, we will contemplate, make muraqabah, the more it will come. So Allah give us tawfiq, it's a short life and it's only one life. If we made it, we made it forever. And if we destroyed it, Allah in His fadl and karam have mercy upon us. It must not get destroyed, and then there is what the consequence after that. May Allah Ta'ala guide us all to righteousness for our precious, valuable deen. Great ni'mat of Allah. Allah has given it to us. Let us make qadr of it. Allah give us all tawfiq.